Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Isota, who is here to speak with us of her experience of participating in Zen Awareness Coaching. Welcome, Isota.
Hello, hi.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for asking me to be here. I have to breathe slowly because I'm so excited about this.
Very good. Well, you know, we Zen types, we're always supportive of that approach, breathing slowly so that we can really take a minute to get here. And I love that framing just right off the bat, Isota, right? Because so often the voices call that I'm nervous or I, you know, whatever it is. But to realize it's excitement, it's enthusiasm for being here.
Yes. Now that you mention it, yes, it's something. It's an automatic reframing that I learned to do thanks to practice. Surely years ago I would have said nervous. Yeah, how great.
Yeah. So yes, Zen Awareness Coaching is one of the many programs that's offered through practice, a way for people to get individual support for their practice, and we thought it would be fun to talk with folks who have had the direct experience, in this case, to see your experience of participating and what you've seen the impact has been on your awareness practice to have a Zen awareness coach.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was recording and listening about it just before this call too. And I was asking myself this question, and the first thing that came up was that it's a fantastic way to apply practice in my day-by-day life. And that even, for example, if there is a week when everything is crazy and I really am just facing a challenge after the next at work, and I probably am not meditating as much as I would, and maybe I'm behind with some exercise of the daily call, it's very likely that I'm looking at something with my coach that is happening day by day. So at least, like maybe something at work usually. So at least in that, I am applying practice in my life, you know, and practice is accompanying me through a difficult moment, or it's a constant reminder to be present at least in something, you know?
Yes. You know, Isota, what I saw when you were saying that was something that I've really appreciated that I've heard Ashwini say a number of times lately, especially in the context of the year-long retreat, that, you know, sometimes we forget that what we're practicing is presence. We're practicing awareness. And there are all these different ways to do that, and we have this thing and that thing and this tool and that tool, but it's all in service of paying attention as we go through our daily lives. And what I think you're describing is that having a coach helps you to apply practice to your life, not live your life and then, oh, yeah, I'm going to do the assignment.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And especially there are some moments in life where the content seems so real that there is this risk of practice becoming, okay, let's take a break, let's practice. Instead, this thing, since we choose with the coach whatever theme that is dear to you in that moment or that is really important in your life in that moment for the six-session period, that is very likely to come up and to be really happening. So there is no risk of practice becoming a break in your life. And it's also a super great way to help yourself, because maybe you know that something is going to be challenging in the near future, and you already decided to face it with the help of practice, you know? It's fantastic.
Yeah. It is. That is such a good... I love how you said that. There's a danger of, oh, let me just take a break here and practice. And, of course, what that's going to do is to keep in place a duality of, okay, I'm going to practice, and now I'm going to go back to this stressful situation. And then I'm going to practice. And then I'm going to go to the stressful. But what you're describing is a process of being able to live my life in the content that I'm in right now and be able to stay with that expanded awareness and to see the process as I go through it. That's what you're getting that support from your coach to do.
Exactly. Now that you're saying that, I think that personally, I usually go, sometimes I work with a theme that is like these ones, like related to some challenges or something I want to work on in my life, private life. And some other times instead, I feel that I need help with like something purely related to practice, like, oh, I want to meditate more. So in that case, I ask the coach for help in that sense, and maybe we do a six-week session in that sense. But some other times, I really need help, the help of the coach with stuff, you know, that is apparently not related to practice, even if, of course, it
exactly.
is. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that would be the reason to ask for that assistance, right? Because we know after we've practiced a while, we know intellectually, okay, there has to be a way that this is practiced, but I'm kind of not seeing it on my own. So perfect, there's a place I want to get something I want to get assistance with.
Exactly. And another beautiful thing is that if there is a like something that I wanna work with in my life, the big help that I receive is how to see the process, no? So it's not like, oh, you should adopt this behavior. Because before, when I didn't know what Zen coaching was, I thought that coaching was like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And instead, this is nothing like that, no? It's like... okay, this thing is driving me crazy and I don't know how to behave in this situation. And the coach helps me see the process. And then maybe my behavior might change or not change, but seeing the process already changes the whole way I face the thing, you know?
Yes. And it's so to... I don't want to put you on the spot, but it just occurs to me as you say that, do any examples of that come up for you? Like a particular thing where you realized you were really, gosh, this thing keeps happening?
Yes,
it
was funny because I decided to listen to a random Zen call from my recorder just now, no? To have some... to make sure I was in the mood. And there was a call when I was complaining. I was describing to my coach the process by which I end up screaming at customers.
Okay.
And it was super great, you know, because it was not, you shouldn't be screaming at your customer. It was, of course, nothing like that, you know. It was really looking at the process, and there was so much compassion and understanding and humor. But of course, there was also the understanding that this was something that caused me suffering, you know? And it was so great. And also, it's so great to have all these things recorded, you know, because...
Right. What a good point.
Mm-hmm, some problems I overcame... And some keep appearing, and I can re-listen to the coaching, and it's great.
Yes, right. So all of the sessions, the six sessions over those weeks, are recorded, and it's a process, right? There's a curriculum, if you will, that we get to walk through as we do it. All of the sessions are recorded, so that's such a good point. The things that kind of cycle back around, I have a recording about that, so we can listen back to it. But I really appreciated the way you described that here's this thing. In this case, you know, there's this whatever comes up for me around the customers that I work with. I'm really suffering with it, right? There, chances are high that I'm getting beaten about that. Then I bring it to the awareness coach, and you know, because that's just the way practice is, all of that's going to be held in a spirit of compassion. You mentioned humor. There's going to be curiosity I project about, well, let's really see what's going on, because we know established. So the answer can't be that there's something wrong with a sota. So given that, let's start walking through what might actually be going on here, not what we need to fix about this person, not what we need to change, but what is actually going on there. And if there is a behavior change somewhere here, in my experience, it's going to naturally come from that process of awareness.
Exactly, exactly. Because even if we are not, even if the behavior change is not, you know, the should, it's amazing because it happens by getting to know what's happening, and it's so fantastic. And exactly. And there is this fantastic projection of being understood and not being judged, mm-hmm. and so one also learns to be like that. You know, it's fantastic.
Yeah. And just, I see we're at the top of the hour, but at what you started with, I feel like was so important, that what you just said, so we're learning that skill, right? We project that our coach is interacting with us in this really accepting, compassionate, open way. As we begin to learn to own that projection and to, quote, treat ourselves, you know, interact with ourselves that way, one of the things that's so beneficial about coaching is that it's happening in my life. It's not, you know, on retreat, we certainly, you know, receive all of those things in spades. And, you know, I'm at the monastery or I'm at the retreat center, and then I go home. And this is a way to bring that same level of, you know, compassion, acceptance into my day-to-day life, which is what you started us off with this afternoon.
Yes, and it's fantastic, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Asota, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
And was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
No, just that it's fantastic, and it's a great way also to be accountable, because one has to learn to send an update at the middle of the week. And this is fantastic because it makes you connect with practice at least once per week. And it's a great thing.
Yes. Yep. And what I saw when you said that was we're learning to be accountable to the heart, to the authentic human being, to who we want to support.
Yes, yes. And this is what the coaches always say. And it's fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. And that's all from me.
Exactly. All right. Thank you so much, Asota.
Thank you so much, Gasho.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye, Gasho.
Bye-bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Ashwini.
Wonderful. Thank you, Asota. And thank you, Jen. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Ashwini. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Michael.
Hi. I love that we have a practice that's so inclusive and that can accept all of the kinds of situations that Jen and Asota were talking about with that level of acceptance and compassion and nothing wrong. Because for me, that's the transformation. When I can be reflective that there's nothing wrong with anything that's going on, it's just so helpful.
Me too, Michael. It's just marvelous, because what I got from that conversation is I think what Asota and Jen started out with, and what Asota was pointing to as the benefit of coaching, but also practice in general. It's not that you have a life and then you have a life where you practice. That everything that happens in life is food for an awareness practice, right? Because we're really learning to pay attention. And that the process skills that we develop, especially with Zen awareness coaching and the year-long retreat, is the ability to look at any process of suffering. When we say process, often people go, what are you talking about? And what we look at is the process of how we're made to suffer. Why do I react to customers that way, right? And so what's going on for me? What am I believing? What buttons are being pressed? What's being told to me inside? What's my conditioning? When I look at that and I bring that into awareness, there's the ability for me to not be controlled by my process, my karma, to be able to step free from that and be here where another choice is possible.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
It's delightful. And you know, as we practice, we realize we all have 6 or 7 classic processes that get activated, right? And we know, we can tell which process you're in. And that's fun.
Yes, yes, exactly. Ashwini, it sounds like you're a little bit far away from the phone. It sounds mostly coming clear.
Okay, well, is this better?
That's better. Great.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. And I have announcements here.
Wonderful. What's on the calendar?
Reflective Listening Buddies offers weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. A new quarter begins October 15th, and the deadline to register is next Tuesday, October 1st. And step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up at the Your Practice Retreat, October 23rd through 30th, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This retreat offers individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week. In November, Sherry will lead an email class exploration of how to alleviate stress through communication in challenging situations. The class will use the Enneagram to look at the causes of and behaviors around stress and how to use communication to get back to the present moment. And speaking of communication, Sherry and Ashwini's new book, Don't Suffer, Communicate, A Zen Guide to Compassionate Communication, is available to order. Go to keepitsimple.org to get your copy. And for a schedule of all practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to make guest show and get in the queue today to talk with Ashwini, please press *6 and then 1. And a conversation on one topic that's about 5 minutes in length is great. Okay, Ashwini, I think we're ready here.
Great.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? First caller, are you there? Maybe they're muted. Okay, let's try next caller. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Ashwini and Michael. This is Chris in Seattle.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, I can't think of a question, but I have a topic generally that's sensations. And there's sort of two sensations that I'm really familiar with. And one is one I would had traditionally been labeled anxiety. And I would say that's like a clench around the heart kind of a thing. And then the other one is, when I'm, let's just say when I'm centered, it's like a pressure around the hollow of my throat, and I've noticed it before, but I kind of really noticed it today, and I just think it's fascinating because one of them essentially is the wrong sensation to have, and it feels bad, and I need to avoid it, and the other one is one that I'm supposed to feel, and that it's a good thing. And I'm trying to get my mind around that they're just kind of sensations.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes. So if I may reflect what you just said, Chris, because there's a little bit of an echo, that the topic you're looking at is sensations, and there's a sensation that is associated with the label anxiety, which is a sort of clenching place in the stomach, and there's a sensation that is... Go ahead.
Oh, no, this is in the clenching more in the heart area.
Oh, in the heart area. And then there's a sensation that's in the throat area where the label is much more centered. And right now, what you're looking at is the process that one is a good sensation and the other one isn't, while they're just sensations.
Yes. And I think I've heard it been said before by Sherry or whomever that, if I remember correctly, no, an emotion is a sensation with a label and a story attached. And so
yes.
I heard that. I get it intellectually, and I guess I'm just in that place where it's having some kind of difficulty or just an observation that it's getting to that place where I can see them as sensations. I'm not there yet, but it's certainly intriguing, and I can see the wisdom of it.
Uh-huh. So are you saying, Chris, that when you're experiencing the sensation, you are present to the physical sensation, but you're also aware of the story and the label?
Let's see. If I'm going through a bad, let's say, a bout of anxiety or something, it's a lot harder to see that it's a sensation with a label and a story. It's just like I'm in it, but when when I'm not in that and I'm more present to my life, I'm more centered, then yes, I'm much more noticing the fact that there's this interesting pressure type of feeling in my throat, and I don't find it unpleasant. And I don't know what I'm trying to say. And I don't find it unpleasant or anything, but I'm more aware of the fact, okay, this is a sensation, and I have traditionally associated this sensation with being present, and isn't that interesting? And then then quickly on the heels of that is, and that's a good thing, and that's a thing that I should want to have, that feeling.
Yes, you can watch almost instantly how the thought stream or the conditioned pattern comes in to attach to, oh, this is the good feeling and this is the bad feeling. And there's an awareness for you, I would project, or an awareness of awareness registering the difference between being in identification and in being in a much more expanded place, watching the sensation and the thought and the story, and noticing what that feels like.
Yes, I can really notice what it feels like, as opposed to just being underwater in the dark room and not really doing much or anything.
Exactly. Well, and I would project that the whole thing is just fascinating, and that thing you started off with saying, well, I'm trying to wrap my mind around it, is interesting to note in itself, right? Because what wants to wrap its mind around that?
Ah, yes. What wants to wrap me, get my mind wrapped around it, is the same thing that wants me underwater, because it takes me out of just being here with it.
That's exactly right, right? You can watch the process that says, oh, this is something good, let's have this one. This is something bad, let's not have this one. And that awareness that is aware of that, that has no preference, right? That can be with a sensation as a sensation rather than making a qualitative judgment about this is a good sensation and this is a bad sensation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, because I think, and I don't know if this is your experience, that when we start to look at it with that level of attention, what we narrow in on, and this might be someplace to look further, right, is how expanded the awareness is, which makes all the difference as to whether or not the judgment is strong or not.
Can you see all that again, please?
Yes, well, it's interesting, right? Because when you're in the state of identification, sometimes you're so identified, there's no awareness there to notice, oh, this is a sensation and this is a thought, this is a story. But when you're in a centered, in a much more expanded awareness state, There's the ability to note sensation. There's the ability to note the thought that is commenting on the sensation. There's the ability to notice the thought that wants to attach to this is a good sensation, right? And the difference
yes.
between those two places is the extent of awareness that there is.
Yes. In the former, it's like there's no awareness or very little.
That's
but
right.
in the expanded places,
yeah.
there's room to notice.
That's exactly right. And so then it becomes interesting. When I notice that the awareness is collapsed, is there a way I can bring expanded awareness, a little bit more expanded awareness, so I can notice? Because it's not that we're trying not to have certain sensations and have certain sensations. That's what the conditioning would have us focus the attention on. Our
mm-hmm.
practice is simply, can we widen the aperture of the awareness?
Right. Well, this will be some good homework next time I find myself underwater. This will be something I'm going to record about, because if I can find the presence of mind to when I am anxious or underwater, to really look at what the sensation is and the thoughts and stories around it, as opposed to right now, I think it's, well, at least I'm being told that I can't do that, but I think that that's something good to practice with.
Absolutely, and I love what you said. Even if you don't have the presence to, you'll follow the impulse to pick up the recorder, and just following the impulse to pick up a recorder implies that there is a level of presence which the identification is arguing against. And when we start to talk into the recorder, we're in the process of expanding the awareness, which is probably why it doesn't want to do that, right? You're actually talking
right.
yourself out of the identification. What is this anxiety about? And as soon as you're talking about it, when you can describe the sensation and the thoughts, what you're actually doing is expanding the awareness, right? And so, as you said, when you practice with it, it'll be interesting to see if from a place of dark identification, you can actually talk yourself into that same place where the sensation is, where the experience is similar to that place that is called centered and a good thing to aspire to.
Ooh, yes. Oh, well, that's fantastic.
Yeah? It's
well, thank
so
you.
Fun, isn't it?
That's really, it is, actually. Yes. Perfect.
This is
yeah,
what awareness geeks do, Chris.
I think you're right. Excellent. Well, thank you.
Okay,
that's a great thing to practice with. All right. Good night, Michael. Good night, Shreya.
Good night.
Good night, Chris.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. Ashwini, I also love that exploration into emotion being a sensation with a story attached to it. And it reminds me, actually, when Sherry talks about diagramming sentences, where we just
uh-huh.
take apart each piece. Okay, the sensation is here. It's in my lower abdomen. It feels like this. And then in my head is the story, and it goes like this. And that process, to me, really helps me to disidentify from the whole meaning of that, putting those two things together.
Exactly, because we're not doing it to diagram the sentence, right? But the objective of paying such close attention is really to disidentify.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's brilliant, because an excitement or interest in something results in the outcome that we're not actually going for, right? That's I love that about Zen.
Yes, the paradox.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. And we have another call here, Ashwini.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Ashwini and Michael, it's Diane in Colorado.
Hey,
hi, Diane.
let's see. I just wanted to report a practice success this morning. because it's always good to say them out loud and get it out there. It is indeed.
I can hear some crackling in the background. Do you hear that too, Michael?
Yeah, I didn't know if maybe it's steps from walking, perhaps, or.
Yeah, now I'm sitting still in the grass. Is this better?
Yes, yep, thank you,
great.
Diane.
Okay, there might be people walking by, but I can stop contributing to the noise. I had this tortured, you know, I don't want to get into a lot of story, but ego was telling me not to do something and just to stay put, and I was too tired and I couldn't do it and shouldn't do it and it wouldn't be worth showing up for anyway. I mean, I was getting that whole line. And at the last minute, I was like, wait a minute, what's the rule? If ego's telling you to do something, you should do the opposite. Like, hello, this is so adamant that you shouldn't do it, that it's raising the red flag that absolutely that is what you should do. And so I did, and to my surprise, it was absolutely the most perfect thing for me to do, and that could not have been predicted at all. So it was wonderful when it works that way.
It is wonderful when it works that way. Congratulations, Diane. Let me celebrate that practice victory for you, because that is exactly the process. Here it is. Ego has dug into the, you know, firmly. You can't do this, should not do this, you're too tired, you can't do this. And then you watch that process. Something drops in. Well, you know, in practice, if ego is saying no, then I get to say yes, just simply because my practice is to go up against those voices. And you do, and you find out how wrong ego is. That's wonderful. Because that's what we're training to do, right? So in this case, I'm going to do what ego says it can't do, and then have my own experience. And that experience, as you said, may be wonderful or may not be. But I get to find out, rather than having my life controlled by a voice in the head that is always able to predict what my experience is going to be and therefore doesn't allow me to have my experience.
Yes. And today I had the extra added benefit of this surprise, super helpful thing that could not have been predicted that happened because I got up and I went.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And isn't that wonderful? Yeah, life just offers us those experiences to assist us to keep going, right? To keep doing it. Because I think it was the Peace quote this morning about delight is always on the other side of fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I go past the voices, and that in itself is such a triumph. And then if what I experience as a consequence of that is anything but what the voices are saying, it's just a bonus.
Yeah, and I especially appreciated the bonus this morning.
Yes,
in case you need another sign that this was the right thing to do, let's add this.
Yes, I'm right there with you, Diane. It's just wonderful when it works out that way. And we get to celebrate that, right? Because we're present to that and thoroughly enjoy it.
Yes, I'm still enjoying it now. That's great.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you for calling in and letting us know about that success. We love it when that happens.
All right. Thank you both.
Thanks, Diane.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Diane. And I always love to hear about practice successes. That's great.
Yeah, and it's such a Herculean thing, right, Michael, that you are in a tortured place. And you've practiced enough for life to drop something in from practice, and you have the willingness to follow through on it, and you do, and everything turns out so much better than those voices predicted. There's nothing like that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
Okay.
next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kelsey in Santa Rosa. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Kelsey.
I'm sorry. I can't hear who
Hello?
Is that. Hello?
You're a little far away, Kelsey.
Okay.
Is that any better?
Oh, Kelsey.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I think I got who it is. Hi, Kelsey.
Okay. Hi, Ashwini. Well, I guess I called because I have been in a kind of tough spot, and so the voices were, it's been, I don't know, I feel like, well, one thing they said to do was not call because I guess feel like I don't have anything to contribute because of being in a tough spot.
And may I just take this opportunity to say, Kelsey, how important it is to call when we are in a tough spot? Because there's such a way in which how we process about that assists everyone else who's also in a tough spot, so that this doesn't just become a show where people just talk about how wonderful they are doing and that they're not struggling in their practice and only people
right,
who are successful
right.
in their practice need to call in. This show is about, you know, whatever is going on for you. As Asota said, there's a conscious, compassionate space in which we can bring anything to talk about. So thank you for monitoring that for us. Because it gives everybody else permission to do that, right?
Right, yeah. No, and I just knew that was part of the conditioning, just want to isolate me because
yeah.
that's what it does when it gets me in a place like this.
Yes, exactly so. Good for you.
So, yeah.
What do you want to look at?
Well, I don't know. It started last week as just kind of a sad feeling, which I just recognized as a sad feeling. I think some grief that comes up periodically for a loss that I've had. And I noticed at first, like, there wasn't really a story about it. It was just a feeling, and it was making me uncomfortable. And I had my sitting group that night, and it did just kind of drop in because I was just part of it, like, I don't know what to do about it. But what dropped in is just be with it. Just mm-hmm. be with the person who's feeling this way. And
uh-huh.
at the time, that really helped. I think what's hard, though, is it's the kind of feeling I get when I feel a depression coming on. And it makes me so uncomfortable to just, you know, a whole string of habitual behaviors kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's all just about trying not to be present.
Uh-huh.
With a feeling.
So yes, yes. So what I'm hearing is, you're recognizing the beginning of a very familiar pattern, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this feeling associated to grief, and attendant to that is really you're starting to notice an aversion to that, because what it's talking to you about is not being present to the grief, but starting
right.
to close down. Because of the fear-mongering that this is going to lead to depression. You're on your way to
yeah.
feeling depressed. Get scared. Don't be
yeah.
with the feelings. Don't entertain these feelings, because if you do, you know you're going to do these things, and those things are going to lead to XYZ, which is all unpleasant.
Yes, yes. That's kind of it, and it's, you know, it interferes with the practice. Just because it's like there's
yeah.
a part that just wants to show me that the practice doesn't work, even though I know it does. But then it, you know, if I'm not doing it, obviously it's not going to work.
Yes. That is so true.
Yeah.
You're seeing it all, right? That the whole
yeah.
purpose of the process is to get you to not do the things that will assist you to stay present and transcend this the voice that can talk you into a state of depression and therefore quitting the practice and therefore going to that place that the practice doesn't work. So,
right.
So there's a way
right.
in which your vigilance is paying off, right? Because no matter what it's trying to do, you are right there noticing the process.
Yes, I'm
and
noticing
that,
the process. So the where it's that, getting hard is not just sometimes not being able to interrupt the really counterproductive behaviors or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you know what, Kelsey? To me, I know this about you because we've talked about this, right? That there
yeah.
was a real expanded awareness, and then this whatever this process is talks you out of dropping out of practice, but you're
yeah.
back again, right?
Yes.
And so there's
yes.
there's something I think it's Radwan Sri Rajneesh who says this, right? I can't guarantee you anything in a spiritual practice. You'll get lost, but I can always guarantee growth.
Yeah.
And so we wander off the path, and that's all right, because we'll wander back on the path again. And there's a way in which that faith of committing to the heart, of committing to the human being, allows us to counter that fear that conditioning is going on about. You're just going to fall into a hole and never get out of the hole. But the fact
yeah, that's what it wants me to think.
That's exactly right. That you've fallen into the hole, you could put on your recorder, right? This is how you can assist the human being to know, yeah, I've fallen into the hole, but I've always come back. I'm always committed to this human being. I'm committed to being present to this human being no matter what, right? And in
uh-huh.
and this process I project as you're paying attention to the behaviors that you're getting talked into, you could
uh-huh.
record every step of it as a process map, and then you would have
oh,
learned
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
Right? You would have learned everything it says throughout this process of talking you into it, and then this depression, if it takes you there, is one of the best learning experiences you've ever had because you've been conscious and mapped the process. Right?
Right, instead of just letting it make me unconscious. And
that's exactly right.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the stickies and paper the wall and write down everything it says and record everything it says, and now you're paying attention. It's exactly what we were talking about with Chris. If you're paying that level of attention, it's not going to be the same process. It's already not the same process. Because you can tell me the pattern, you can tell me the voices, you can tell me what it's trying to do. You can also tell me that it's dropping in for you to be with the person, to go to your sitting group. So it's not yet, it's not the same thing. Once we've seen it, it's never the same thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that makes sense. That's good to know.
Right? So the recorder
yeah.
and your process map, and you're going to chart your process through this place. And you're gonna let that awareness inform you. And if the attention is on that, you are practicing through it all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's it. Is just trying to stay present through what's not feeling good, knowing that that doesn't last forever, and that it's really the harm comes from getting convinced to try to avoid the feelings, I think.
Yes. Well, and the way to stay with the feeling, right, Kelsey, is to actually
mm-hmm.
talk about it. Because
yes.
when you're talking about it, because what it says is you don't feel good. Now,
yes.
you don't feel good has zero information as a label. It's just supposed to be something you gloss over and go, okay, well, I have to go to coping with that. Let me go get a drink or... run 20 miles or whatever it is to avoid this feeling. But if you
uh-huh.
turn your attention to what does not feeling good mean, I want to know
yeah.
what not feeling good is like. Does it mean that I feel nauseous? Does it mean that I have butterflies in my stomach? Where's the sensation? What's the color of the sensation? I really want to get into it. I want to know what not feeling good is. I want to know what the voices are saying that it means. I want to know what sensations are going on.
And I really want to understand what not feeling good is.
Yeah,
because as soon as you have your attention on that, yeah, on that level of inquiry, on that level of paying attention, you're not going with what the voices are saying. You're bringing
right.
all of your awareness practice skills to bust through the belief that's maintaining the program. Conditioning is hoping that you'll just take the bait and go for the coping behavior, not turn around and examine what it's saying.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think, yeah, because I find myself kind of doing the behavior, like, how did I get here? So if I slow that down or look back, then I can figure out what it's saying to me that's getting me there.
Say a little bit more about the behavior, Kelsey. Say, I didn't quite follow that.
Oh, I just, when I'm feeling that, it's just so compulsive that I feel like I'm not, it goes into automatic. One will lead to another. And I think I'm not really tracking the voices. I think maybe what they're saying is so awful that that's part of what I'm trying to avoid. I don't know. But it's
uh-huh.
like not tracking what's talking me into, you know, doing yet another thing that I know is really just going to make me feel worse.
Yes. Here's how I've heard Sherry talk about process mapping. She did this process map around anger, right? Where
uh-huh.
you suddenly come to and you've just punched a hole in the wall, right? That's your
right.
moment of awareness. And so
yes.
the next time you watch, if you're paying attention to the process, maybe you catch the moment before you put your fist through the wall, right?
Uh-huh.
There's a
yes.
way in which you keep paying attention because you become aware whenever you're aware in the process, and then you expand the awareness to just see what happened right before that. That's what goes on the sticky. What happened right before that?
Right, and that's the part I feel like I keep missing because it just gets to be
yes.
kind of automatic. And so, yes, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was saying, trying to catch.
But that's okay. This is where you came to. So you have a good data point at compulsive behavior number 3, right? And then you'll have
right.
more data on compulsive behavior number 3, and you keep paying attention and keep paying attention and not listening to the voices till you go to T minus 2 seconds before compulsive behavior. Right? It just becomes so I don't know what happened, but I'm so excited to find out.
Yeah.
Right? Rather than a defeat,
yes.
it becomes just another place where I'm gathering data.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah, it turns and Sherry says this, I think, in the depression book or in the fear book, where you go from being the prey to the predator, right? You're going
uh-huh.
after it.
Yes, yes. Yes, okay, that's helpful. Thank you. I'm glad I called in.
Yes, and surround yourself with the practice, right? Because these are the place. For whatever it is, show up for it. Because that's how you're going to come to again, right?
Yes, yes.
All of the supports that you can hold on to as your life wraps in this escalating pattern, just keep calling in and showing up for the radio show and every practice opportunity you get to check in. As a way to come back to here, as a way to remind you, to recall this is what you're doing for this human being.
Just even doing this helped a lot, really.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Take care, Kelsey. Talk to you soon. And let us know, okay?
All right. Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Kelsey. And Ashwini, I just love the courage that I project onto everyone calling in here. It's very inspiring to hear people call in and say what's there and to work with it. It's powerful.
It is. It is extremely powerful. It is a hero's journey.
Yes. Yes. Hero's journey. And Ashwini, we are going to hear from our sponsor and then we'll come back to talk with more callers.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And let me find Ashwini here in the queue. There you are, Ashwini.
I know, Michael. It's scrolled through several pages of phone numbers, huh?
Yes. Well, it's I'm grateful to have so many callers and listeners. It's a blessing. And we have another caller now.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Hello.
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 This is the first time you've called in. My name is Susan.
Did you say Susan?
This is my first time.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah, it's the first time I've called in.
Uh-huh.
And I'm feeling a little nervous.
Yes. Even if you weren't calling in for the first time, Susan, there's something really heart-stopping about the words, "you are unmuted." So take as much time as you want to catch your breath and let us know what it is that you would like to talk about.
Well, I'm just going through a really difficult time.
Uh-huh.
I am challenged by health problems,
mm-hmm.
and they're just quite severe, and that makes me feel also depressed and anxious because I don't know how to cope with it. I just feel like I'm falling more and more into anxiety and depression, and I don't want these symptoms, and I'm fighting against them, and I think they just get worse.
The symptoms of anxiety and depression.
Well, I have chronic fatigue syndrome. And just recently diagnosed with multiple, I've had chronic fatigue syndrome in 20 years and recently diagnosed with multiple sclerosis just recent. So one thing on top of the other thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just go into a lot of anxiety and start feeling depressed and then I feel like the symptoms get worse and worse, and and I kind of start, not knowing what to do. I feel helpless then, and
mm-hmm. yes,
I want to reach out to people, and I feel so exhausted, that I'm depressed, and my thoughts just go into this place.
Yes. So, Susan, how did you find out about Open Air? I'm curious about how you you found us and what prompted you to call in.
Well, I
have... Are you familiar with Sherry's book?
Yeah, I'm familiar with her books. I was looking for ways to connect through the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of popped up, and I was like, "Oh, great!" So I've actually been on listening to this several times, or maybe more than several times, but I haven't, like, called in to ask a question. So I have called in, but I haven't called in to ask a question. So, yeah, I found it through the internet, knew about Sherry, and have...
Can you follow what we're saying when we say things like, do you notice what the voices are saying to you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're able to pay attention when you have these symptoms like anxiety, that the voices are talking to you, telling you that you should be scared or it's getting worse, or are you able to notice what the voices are doing?
Yeah, I hear them and I feel overwhelmed by them. I don't want them there.
So, you know, Susan, there's so many things that we could talk about, but one of the things I know Sherry would say, that one of the best places to start with putting your attention somewhere other than the voices so that they don't overwhelm you is to start a recording and listening practice. Do you have a recording? Do you have a recorder that you work with?
No, I was thinking of using my cell phone. I don't know if it works like that.
Absolutely works. Absolutely works. So it's an entire process to develop a recording practice, but maybe we could start with something simple. So the next time you start hearing the voices telling you you're anxious, you pick up the recorder and you start to talk about say something that you love or something that you are grateful for. Tell me something about what you love. To anything, pick anything that you love and tell me about it.
Nature.
What do you love about nature?
Outside with the trees.
And the grass and the leaves.
Uh
huh. And what do you love about the grass and the trees?
The beauty. Make me happy.
Can you write to me your favorite tree?
I don't think I have a favorite tree.
Well, what do you like about trees?
I love the green leaves, or they don't have to be green, but I just love the leaves and the branches. And I like looking at them and just being under a tree and watching the sunset. Where there's lots of beautiful trees and...
Exactly. So what I just did there, right, Susan, is to direct your attention to your experience of walking in nature. And you actually laughed. I heard you laugh. I heard the smile in your voice as you started to describe that. Right? And so what I was attempting to demonstrate is, instead of listening to a voice in your head that's talking to you about anxiety and depression and attending to that, that's making you feel overwhelmed and bad, when that starts to happen, you can pick up the recorder and start to talk about trees and nature. And there's a way in which, because our experience is what we practice, what your experience would be what you feel like under those trees. And if I asked you what that felt like, can you describe what it feels like to me?
Well, it feels, I can feel some calmness and peace.
Yes.
Some joy.
Yes.
And
peace. Calmness, joy, yes.
I can feel some peace.
Some peace.
Contentment, maybe, or feel more hopeful.
More hopeful, yes.
Yeah.
Precisely, right? We can just redirect the attention and have a completely different experience. And that's what a recording practice allows you to have. So
the next time, maybe we could start with this practice, and you can call in again and talk to Sherry, and we can or write into the registration office, and we could offer you some other recording and listening tools like this. But let's just start with that, where you start to make recordings about what you love, what you're grateful for, what you appreciate in your life when you start to get anxious. And when you get anxious, maybe you listen to that recording and see if you can attend to your experience of, say, walking in nature, and whether you start to feel calm and peaceful rather than overwhelmed and anxious.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. I think it helps talking to someone.
It does. And you'll find that your recorder is the best friend you're ever going to have.
Really? Feels hard. It feels easier if a person's there to talk
yes,
to.
Yes, it does. It does. Because what's telling you that, you haven't had an experience of using the recorder yet. And you can watch that voice come in and say, really? You it's easier to talk to a person, so let's not try this recording practice. And when we start to pay attention like that, we start to see those voices are so vested in keeping you keeping your attention on them, right? Listen to me, Susan. I'm going to tell you that it's so much easier to talk to a person rather than talk to a recorder. So let's not even try, right? Let's not. You don't need to have that experience, right? And so, since this is just the start of the practice, you watch how that system we call egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is so vested in keeping you anxious, overwhelmed, and suffering rather than taking the steps to freedom from them. And so whenever you're offered something that assists you to have a different experience, you watch it come in and attempt to resist that.
Yeah, it's true. It's like not allowing me to feel good because I feel so sick. So it's like
exactly.
I'm not allowed to feel good.
Exactly. Don't call into the radio show. Don't use your cell phone as a recorder to try this really simple way where you just have the experience. I just asked you a question, and you were able to go to an experience that made you feel calm and happy and peaceful. And it won't let you do that with a recorder to try whether you could do that by yourself, because you may not be able to call me 24/7 and have this conversation with me, right? But you can always pick
probably
up
the not. Recorder. That would be nice.
it would be nice. I'm right there with you. I would love to talk to you, Susan, 24/7. But since that may not be possible, but we're here every Tuesday, to try it, to just practice with that.
Okay.
And let us know, because we really want to know.
Okay.
Yeah? And if you write into the registration office, we might be able to give you some more tips and tools about supporting yourself, some practice ways in which you can interact with practice to support you more and look at this process of how to use practice to direct your attention.
Can you call in as well?
Pardon?
Can I call in as well at the registration office?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You can.
Okay.
I'm not sure I followed. Are you saying can you call into the registration office? Possibly not. It's just you email them and they will get back to you. It's information@livingcompassion.org.
Oh, yeah, I was asking if one could call.
Yeah. No, I don't think I don't think we man phones at the monastery. So if you want to call in and talk to someone, call in to talk to Sherry on this show on Tuesdays. But just write into the office, and they'll assist you with ways in which practice can support you on this ongoing journey of recording and listening.
Okay? Yeah. I guess I was just wondering if there's other possibilities of talking to people
Absolutely is. You could get an RL trainer. You could get. You could come on retreat. There's reflective. There's plenty of things that we can support you in practice. So if you write into the office, that would be great. And when you get off this call, make a couple of recordings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry. Thank you.
What you're grateful for. What you appreciate. How it makes you feel, your favorite song, you know, everything that lights you up and takes you to that experience of calm and peace and harmony and well-being. And listen to them.
Mm-hmm. What you love, what you appreciate, mm-hmm. what you're grateful for. What gives you harmony and peace and love? So concentrate on those things.
Exactly. Yep.
I guess I was trying to
know. Okay.
Yeah, I guess I was trying to see if maybe there's people you can talk to that help you with this, or if there's mentors available.
There definitely is. So that's why I would write into the to information at Living Compassion and find out what your options might be.
Okay. Yeah, I've got you now.
Yeah.
I should ask these questions at the yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll do that.
Great. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for helping and supporting me. I feel like, I feel grateful. Yeah.
Good. That's a wonderful thing to put on your recorder, right?
Yeah,
the process of being able to stand up for her and call in and see what is possible to support her in this challenging and difficult time, right? You
okay.
can appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can appreciate that. Yeah, I'm feeling very grateful for that you, I've listened to him several times, as I said, so, but this is the first time I've asked a question, so I'm very grateful I did, and that you are there to support me and others. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really touching.
Yeah, brings us to such a level of gratitude, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
And you could put that all on your recorder.
Okay.
I'm taking a page out of Sherry's book about nagging people on recording and listening, right? Because with the recording and listening practice, those voices, if we do it, as she says, if you record and listen consistently, there's no way you can be depressed.
Well, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah. And you know, this is the voice of experience, because it's what causes us to be depressed. It's to depress what we're feeling. That our inability to be with what we're feeling is what depression is. We're depressing feelings, right? And the only thing that depresses us is self-hate. It's that voice in the head that's basically causing us to feel afraid, to not be with who we are, to tell us something that there's something wrong with us. And so as we start to recognize that voice and cease to give it attention, with the use of a recorder, by either directing our attention to something else or talking about what's going on for us and listening to ourselves and being able to unlock the compassion that we can bring, like you did by getting on this call, then our whole relationship with what's going on for us changes.
Yeah, wow. There's different ways of doing it.
Yes,
yeah,
and we just have to find that out for ourselves, right? Susan, I think that's why it's called a practice. And so you called in today, which was a great first step, and then you pick up that recorder and find out what you can unlock through that experience.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess I'm focusing on the gratefulness. And
let's go with the grateful
love first, right?
Yes.
What I appreciate, that's what I focus on right now. So it sounds like
good.
You can also focus on how you're feeling.
Oh, yes, we've got some fabulous recording and listening skills around
talking about what your experience is and how you would support that and how would you listen to that and reflect it. So
okay. So there's, yeah. Okay, one step at a time.
Okay, exactly. One step at a time. That's perfect.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. Let us know, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. And it's the top of the hour here, Ashwini.
Wow. Another wonderful show, Michael. Thank you for
another wonderful show with lots of great callers and listeners and facilitators. Thank you, Ashwini. Great to have you here tonight.
Thank you, Michael.
And we'll say go happy and don't forget to treasure yourself, everyone.
Go happy.
All right. Thanks, Ashwini. Good night.